Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is hour number two. Hour one flew by on a Monday. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. College football weekend. Fox has Wisconsin, Penn State. You just normally do not get a massive conference game first week of the college football season. Like, that's just not the way it works. You're not going to get Georgia, Florida. You're not going to get usually, your Michigan, Ohio State level. You're not going to get Texas, Oklahoma. You're not going to get USC, Oregon. That's like week seven. So literally, we get Wisconsin, Penn State, top 20 programs. Wisconsin's probably the most underrated program in the country. They're good every year. That's fantastic. And then you get LSU and UCLA. Keep your eye on UCLA. Not going to be a great team, but they're interesting. This transfer portal has helped the Bruins a lot. They got like seven new starters from around the country. This transfer portal, everybody complains, coaches, I can't keep my guys. Well, do a better job to your guys. They won't want to leave.
That's one way to approach it. It's a great first week of college football.
So excited. I may bet.
Ooh.
All right, we call it, that's Joy Taylor, we call it Callin' Right, Callin' Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's. They got a new grilled portobello, mushroom and Swiss. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, the Dolphins maybe aren't sold on Tua. How do I know that? I have eyes. Multiple reports, the Miami Dolphins have offered multiple first and second round picks to upgrade at quarterback to Deshaun Watson. It's nothing against Tua, but he averaged 181 yards passing last year. And he's not a scrambler, okay? So, listen, the Dolphins apparently, and there were several teams interested, but the Dolphins reportedly gave a lot more potentially in a deal, which tells you they feel they're close. They're not worried about first and second round picks. They like their roster. They just don't think they can win big with the quarterback they have.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mac Jones may start over Cam Newton. That shocks me. Hey, listen, he's completed 69% of his throws, and he's played a lot. I mean, they put him there a lot. He's gotten a lot of snaps. Now, Cam's been the starter, but I didn't think this was going to be that close. In fact, of all the young quarterbacks, I didn't think Mac Jones would play much this year. I don't think you can mess around in this division, and I don't think Cam was nearly as bad as everybody said last year. After he got back from COVID, he was crappy for a couple of weeks post-COVID. He ended up with 12 rushing touchdowns, and they were a decent team. So this is a surprise to me. I did not think Mac Jones had a chance to start week one.
Where Colin was right.
Denver's Drew Lock could not beat out Bridge quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. I said this, Drew Lock to me is a slightly less talented version of Jay Cutler. I see the arm, I see the talent, but he's casual, a little too cool for my taste. And I just think what Vic Fangio said is, I like our roster. I trust Teddy Bridgewater more than I trust Drew Lock. It's not a talent thing, because Drew's got a big arm, like a big top 10 arm in the league. But what have I said about quarterback? It's a grown-up position, and Vic Fangio's got a real roster in Denver. This roster, it's got players. The Raiders, don't kid yourself, have the fourth-best roster easily in this division, and he's telling you, I'm not giving the keys to Drew Lock. And I like Drew Lock after 9 starts. Joy was here. I said, there is something here. And then the start of the next year, I was out after about 6 starts.
Where Colin was wrong.
Trey Lance may start week one over Jimmy Garoppolo. I said this a couple weeks ago. The three things that really crush a quarterback's confidence. Injuries, your coach loses faith, and they draft your replacement. Jimmy Garoppolo checks all three boxes. I still think he starts, but he has not played with the confidence that you'd think a guy that was in a Super Bowl 2 years ago would play in. And frankly, Trey Lance looked pretty good. Now, Trey, it's pretty much he's just throwing fastballs. His tempo, he can throw an occasional breaking pitch, but size, mobility, arm, he's got arm angles. There's no question. Trey Lance has been better sooner than I thought.
where Colin was right.
Urban Meyer did exactly what we predicted with Gardner Minshew. He elevated him. Oh, got a quarterback battle. Quarterback battle here with Trevor Lawrence. Everybody's like, ooh. Raises his value a little. And then right before the season, Trevor, it's your job. We trade Gardner Minshew and get a pick as we're rebuilding the bad franchise. This, to me, and a lot of people didn't like it, but this, to me, was the plan. You come in, you create a culture. You don't give Trevor Lawrence the job. You know he's the starter, but you don't give anybody the job here. You're a college coach. You're going to struggle with some of these pro players not buying into your stuff. So Urban came in. He was not given a college star the start. I'm a college coach. I'm not giving the college kid a star. And bow. And then you can tell after a couple exhibition games, you're like, yeah, Trevor's the starter. They elevate Minshew's value, and they move him to Philadelphia. I thought that was exactly what we thought we predicted on the air last week.
Where Colin was right.
Yankees recently a 13-game winning streak. Dodgers have won 16 of 20. But they're both hot, right? But it's what they did that we've been preaching for several years. Even though they were good, they got hyper-aggressive at the free agent deadline. Okay? This is what is winning in sports. The Dodgers went out and got Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Great players. The Yankees went out with the Cubs, got Anthony Rizzo. Then they got Joey Gallo. It's not like these were bad teams, but aggressiveness is being rewarded. And right now, my World Series picks, the Dodgers and the Yankees, look like they're in their best form of the season.
Where Colin was wrong.
I can't believe the Cowboys have not made a move for a backup quarterback, and I thought it was going to be Gardner Minshew. I don't get it. This is a quarterback, Dak-driven offense. He still has a shoulder issue. I mean, they're not even letting him play in these games. Gardner Minshew was on the market. You only had to give up like a 6-round pick. Gardner Minshew still has 2 years left on a contract. He'd be cheap. And I don't like the Cowboys' backup quarterback situation at all. I am surprised Dallas is staying pat with what they have.
Where Colin was right.
We predicted Jake Paul would beat Tyron Woodley. He did last night in Ohio. Listen, he's interesting. He's not a great prize fighter. He's not fighting in those fights. Now he's taking on retired UFC guys and some celebrities. But on a 6 or 7 fight card in a pay-per-view sport, there's absolutely room. Hell, if Tebow wanted to fight, and he trained for 6 months. It's pay-per-view. It's okay. Not every fight on a fight card always has to be Ali and Frazier, Leonard and Hearns. It's okay. And I think he's invested. I think he's a big, strong kid. I think he showed in that fourth round he can take a punch. Because Tyron Woodley, he's a man. Like, that guy's big. And I think it's great for boxing. That's a shot. And by the way, Jake Paul is now 4-0, and he is moving people to pay-per-view buys. Good for him.
Where Colin was right.
Been saying this for years. There's only one college football power in the 80s and 90s that will never return, and it's Nebraska. First of all, they don't fit in the Big Ten. I thought they made a mistake going to the Big Ten because now they can't get the Texas high school recruits they could get in the Big 12. I also think quarterbacks, by and large, don't want to play in cold weather. That's why the Big Ten, Michigan can't even get the quarterback right. And I think the bottom line with Nebraska football is it's hard to win in small, cold towns. Nebraska is becoming a place where good coaches go to end their careers. It's nothing against it. I think almost every power in the 80s and 90s, if they got the right coach, could end up being really relevant again, and I've never bought into it with Nebraska. Life changes. Things have changed, and I think kids have more options. They'd rather stay close to home. And if you look at the business model of Nebraska football in the 70s and 80s and 90s with Tom Osborne, where they had this powerful walk-on program, those days are over. You can't compete at that level, and they are what we thought they were. All right. Good stuff. Colin right, Colin wrong. Mac Jones thing surprises me. All these guys look good. You know, it's funny watching the preseason. New England actually played starters a lot, and nobody else did. So I find it very difficult to figure out exactly what New England is. I mean, it's Mac Jones looked good. Cam looked good. I mean, you had starting receivers, starting offensive linemen, because I think New England is trying to decipher what they are. By the way, Bruce Arians, older coach, played some starters. So a couple of the older coaches, Mike Tomlin, older coach, he played some starters. Generationally, Tomlin, Arians, Belichick.
Andy Reid, too.
Andy Reid. They want you to go out and hit. Kansas City's trying to kind of decipher their offensive line, rebuild it in one offseason. The young coaches, the McVay group, they don't even take guys to the city. They just keep them on the bus. So it's different. So I with New England, I don't know. I think the decision's going to be made in meeting rooms because I watched them both. And they both, I think you can win 10, I said this last week, you can win 10 games with Cam. I don't have a doubt in my mind. But I think you can probably win 10 games with Mac. I really do. So it's going to be, I do think Cam Newton did himself no favors with that second COVID issue. Did himself no favors. There's no coach in the league that has less tolerance for nonsense. There's no team in the league that's more detailed. I saw that story and I thought, oh, you did yourself no favors. That some coaches, you can get away with that. Belichick's not one of them.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Thursday night, the reigning Big Ten champs kick off their season in prime time as number 4 Ohio State takes on Minnesota at 7:30 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Interesting game. Minnesota's got real players now. Wolf and Shepherd, dress shoe made and worn by athletes. Check them out, wolfandshepherd.com. They have great merch. I'm wearing a pair today, wolfandshepherd.com. Shepherd spelled S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D, like the herd.com. Well, Gerald McCoy was a sixth consecutive Pro Bowl defensive lineman, played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers forever. Now he's a Raider defensive tackle, played his first football in a long time this past weekend, joins us live. So they always, the term they always use, Gerald, is getting their feet back under them. That's what you hear. Akeem Talib always uses that. So you played real minutes. You played.
I did.
Okay. So did you? Just tell me, how did you feel?
I felt great. You know, first off, thanks for having me. You know, I haven't talked to my distant cousins in a long time. Well, we're not so distant now because I'm in Vegas, but I haven't talked to my family in a long time. Joy, how you doing? Colin, how you doing?
Great.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, but I feel great, man. You know, yesterday were my first real reps. You know, I've been taking reps here and there in practice, and that started this week. You know, the first 2 weeks I've been there, I haven't taken any reps in practice. I've just been working out on the side doing individuals, and this week I got a few reps. So yesterday was my real first rep. So everything was tested, my conditioning, my strength, my legs, endurance, my feet, my technique, everything was tested yesterday. And overall, I felt great, man. I didn't realize until I read something yesterday morning that I haven't played in a football game in 20 months. 20 months. And as a professional athlete, especially football, you could stop doing it for 4 days and lose it.
Right.
So 20 months, man, to come out and do what I was able to do, you know, as far as like consistently, you know, getting off the ball, getting in the backfield, it felt great.
So it's interesting. You've been on the Bucs, the Panthers. John Gruden, all we see is TV. We don't see the meetings. We don't see the film study. We don't see practice. What is Gruden like as a personality and as a coach?
Gruden's a phenomenal coach, man. I love him. You know, and what you see on TV, that's not a character. You know, this guy, he's just got all the personality in the world, and I believe that's why he was on TV for so long. Because what you've seen on TV is who he really is. And I believe that's what got him hired. But not only that, his work ethic. He doesn't do anything on accident. Everything is strategic with all the moves he makes, from the practice to the practice schedule to the guys he wants on his team to the guys who play week in and week out. And, you know, I love being around him. He's a real player's coach. You hear that term all the time, a player's coach. Now, he's a real player's coach. He cares about his players. And most importantly to me, he takes care of his vets. I do appreciate that.
Well, you know, he's always been a fan of veteran players. Gerald McCoy, Raider defensive tackle. By the way, they could use him. Max Crosby was their only real pass rusher last year, and this is a division with a
lot. I think I lost you.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Did I?
No, I think we lost him for a second. We'll try to get him back. Gonna redial, they say. They need him, by the way, because the Raiders' defense allowed 29 points a game and had only 66 sacks. That is the fewest since John Gruden landed. It's funny. Long story, but yesterday I flew back from Chicago to Los Angeles next to a longtime NFL executive, and they were talking about the bumps and Mark Davis and 10-year contract, and that is kind of that never happened in the NFL. And it's not gone as perfectly planned. They've had some misses in the drafts. The defense has been a huge liability. Derek Carr and Gruden appear to get along very well, but it feels like he's almost a life preserver at times for a little bit of a sinking ship. Defensively, the division's gotten better. Kansas City now has a chance to be in their third straight Super Bowl. Chargers with Justin Herbert are legitimate. Denver's roster is great. They just can't get the quarterback quite right. So here's the Raiders with Derek Carr, John Gruden, and they're rebuilding still as we go into what, year three and year four with John Gruden. So that is where they're currently at. Do we have Gerald? Not yet. Let's go to Joy Taylor.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Minshew Mania is heading to Philadelphia after naming Trevor Lawrence the starter. The Jags traded Gardner Minshew to the Eagles for a 2022 conditional sixth-round pick. So he joins a quarterback room with Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco, but he is not expected to bump Hurts out of the starting spot. I would actually assume Philadelphia does not like when I talk about their quarterback situation, but I would assume that Gardner Minshew would also jump Joe Flacco. Like, if he's not going to be the starter in Jalen Hurts, which to me is understandable because I think you should find out what you have in Jalen Hurts. Gardner is actually a legitimate quarterback.
And he plays a little like Jalen Hurts. They're both mobile, a little undersized. I always think you should have a symmetry between your starter and your backup.
Yes.
And I to me, Gardner Minshew and Dak, both athletic, both move. You know, neither a huge arm. Like, I thought Gardner for the Cowboys worked, but I think Gardner Minshew for the Philadelphia Eagles works.
I do think that. I would, if I was Dallas, would have brought in a more legitimate backup. Yeah. But they seem to be comfortable with their backup situation. But we look at Gardner's numbers a lot because he is a very interesting quarterback.
Yes.
He's sort of a, to me, he's a low-end starter, very high-end backup.
Yeah, high-end backup.
But his numbers are kind of interesting. Like, obviously, we're not a good team, Jacksonville Jaguars. But if you look at Jalen Hurts last year and Carson Wentz and compare him to Gardner Minshew, Gardner actually puts up bigger numbers. Like, he's Carson had 16 touchdowns to 15 interceptions. Gardner had 15 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. His passing rating, Gardner was higher, 97 to 72 and 77 respectively.
I've said this. I think he's a less talented Baker Mayfield. Baker's got a better arm, but they're about the same size. They're both kind of fun, a lot of chutzpah. They can move okay. They're not great athletes, but they're good athletes, and they can make plays. I mean, if you look at Gardner Minshew, you know, I say this to friends all the time. How you enter a business is how you'll be judged.
Yep.
If you start in the mailroom, there's going to be a percentage of people who don't take you seriously. And if you start as a president and you're a buffoon, you'll still get about a 2-year runway. Minshew enters the league as kind of an afterthought and a backup, so nobody takes him seriously. But if you watch him play and you look at his numbers, he is a high, high-end backup in this league. And to your point, you could, if you have him start for 6 games, you can win 3 of them. If you give him some talent, you can win 3 of them.
I think he's just kind of a little quirky,
yes,
so people don't pay attention to the numbers that he's putting up. So Dak Prescott, speaking of the Cowboys, once again did not play in a preseason game this weekend. And as the team turns their attention to their opener against Tampa, Jerry Jones, not the head coach, confirmed that Dak will be out there for week 1. Jerry said he's good to go. He turned it loose and was none the worse for it. The MRIs are showing all systems go. He's throwing with velocity and emphasis. He's throwing on the run. I think we've really done the right thing easing this along.
Okay. Well, I'd still like to have a backup quarterback somewhere in those plans.
I'd like to have a backup quarterback somewhere in the plans. I also, and listen, I am a Dak fan. I don't hide my affection for Dak Prescott. I think he is great. I think he's going to come back off the ankle injury perfectly fine. And I think he's the perfect Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Perfect face for that franchise. But I get very weary when I'm hearing things from an organization that is opposite from what I'm seeing. And this feels a little bit Todd Gurley-ish, where we don't really know how severe the injury is. We're not seeing the production that we should be seeing. We're not seeing Dak Prescott out there. We keep hearing that he's 100% ready to go, but he didn't play at all in the preseason. Now, I understand the injury is one of those ones where you don't want to aggravate it, but I'm just a little weary of this whole situation.
I'm the same way.
So Patrick Mahomes has become the poster boy for those who advocate sitting new quarterbacks behind a veteran for their rookie season. And Travis Kelce was asked on the Rich Eisen show how much he thinks that sitting behind Alex Smith actually helps Mahomes be successful.
I think I saw it from the get-go, his determination, his ability to see coverages early, feel confident in what he's seeing, be able to throw a good ball. And then, obviously, his ability to make plays when the play breaks down. It's just second to no one that I've ever played with or ever seen on the field. So it's just, I'm a little biased when I say I don't think he needed that year, but I do think that it helped him be ready for the next season.
Yeah.
There's only been three first-round quarterbacks who did not play at all their rookie season since the 2000 NFL draft. Jordan Love, Jason Campbell, and Carson Palmer. Remember, Patrick Mahomes played week 17 of his rookie year. But to sit the entire season, there's only been three since the year 2000. This idea that all these quarterbacks need to sit their entire rookie season.
It's all situational.
It's situational, but it's also, it's really unprecedented to actually do that.
Yeah.
Like the easing in of a young guy, I can understand. I think every situation is different. I think Trey Lance's situation is different than Justin Fields' situation, is different than Trevor Lawrence. They're all very different because the teams and the situations they go to are different. But the idea that you should not put a rookie quarterback out there right away, I push back on, especially if you're in a situation where you have a decent team around and you can develop him a little bit. Like, you have more runway when you take a quarterback that high. You have a little bit of grace with your fans, with the media, because everyone knows this is a young player. But you also get the advantage of seeing what you have in them fully, seeing what you need to put around them to make them successful, and then you can go and pay other people because you don't have to pay that young quarterback right away.
Right.
So I see both sides of it, and I tend to lean more towards start the young guy earlier. But, I mean, we saw what happened with Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert wasn't supposed to start right away. Remember, we were going to keep a bubble around him. Had an incredible rookie season putting him out there right away. Saw a little bit of this with Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield wasn't supposed to start his rookie season right away. He got in week three. I just think we kind of are leaning too far into this. Everyone needs to sit behind a veteran and learn how to play. Like, that's actually not how it usually goes. And there is advantages to having young players out there earlier.
Yeah, well, first round teams that take quarterbacks usually need help. And the kid in college is way better than the old guy they have sitting or playing in their current NFL situation. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
So Gerald McCoy of the Raiders, he's going to join us now again live. Let's go to him. There he is. So let me ask you this. A lot of people, you've been around this league now for a decade, a six-time Pro Bowler. A lot of people, myself included, look at the Raiders and say, I just don't know if they have enough playmakers defensively. It's a very good division with a lot of good quarterbacks. When you're around this team, you tell me, what kind of talent do you see? What kind of roster is this? Because John Gruden needs to start winning here pretty quick.
Yeah, this is a more talented roster than you think. You know, it's rare to come across a group where you have a defensive line where both defensive ends are double-digit sack guys. Max Crosby has had double-digit sacks. Yannick has had double-digit sacks. Hey, that's very rare to come across where you have two guys like that. All right, you got a guy in Jonathan Abram who's coming into his own. He's learning more and more, and the things he's been doing in training camp, I think he's going to take the next step this year. You know, our second-round pick in Morik, I can never pronounce his name right. But, I mean, he's coming off winning a college award, so he's no slouch, and he's been making plays all camp. He's been making plays all camp. And the thing I love about our position group, I mean, I don't want to even talk about our corners. You know, we got Casey Hayward on one end, and we got a new rookie who, if you guys haven't seen him, he's been making plays all preseason. He got a sack fumble in the first game. The next game, he had a big play on the screen. The play, a few plays later, he had a big interception. So we have talent. And the offensive side of the ball, I mean, like, it is what it is. You've seen our talent. We have one of the top running backs. I think Derek Carr gets a bad rap for, you know, what has happened to him. He's much better than people give him credit for. I think he's a top quarterback, if you ask me. We have a top three tight end. Our offensive line is really good. We got Henry Ruggs. We have weapons on the offense. We have weapons on the defense. And the thing that's going to make this team great is the competition. Everybody's been competing. Everybody knows what everybody's saying. Everybody knows what's going on with everybody. With the Raiders are doing this. John Gruden has to – we don't care. Everybody is competing. And what I truly believe is that this team is going to catch everybody off guard because we do have a lot of talent. And the competition that's been going on in the training camp has been phenomenal. And I'm excited to see it put all together on Monday night.
By the way, I thought Vegas should have gotten an NFL team years ago. It's nine home games. I'm surprised hockey's been that popular. But NFL, I thought, would be a massive hit. It's funny in Vegas. One of the things I always heard from people about the NFL, they said, man, with all these young kids in Vegas, we worry about them being distracted. Well, you're in Vegas right now. You're an older guy. But do you worry about Vegas, the casinos, the young kids? It's a fun city. There's a show every night. There's attractions every night. Do you worry? You know, in Tampa, it's pretty boring. In Charlotte, it's kind of boring. You go to Vegas, it's never boring. Do you worry about that?
Mm-mm. No, I don't. I think that's what it goes back to the type of coach John Gruden is. He has a great handle on that. And that's where people like me come in. When you bring in vets who have seen, you know, so much in the league, you could take those young guys under your wing and Max Crosby and Yannick and Derek Carr, and it's going to take us, the guys in the locker room, to keep control over all of that. If you see somebody getting out of hand or somebody, the focus has swayed away from what our focus should be, and that's getting that trophy, then it's going to be on the vets to, you know, bring it back to center. But we have a great group, man. I'm not really concerned about the big city. I mean, it's nobody – I mean, guys, they have their fun, but – no, I'm not really concerned about it.
By the way, do you think with your performance this weekend, Gerald, that you made the Raiders? Do you believe you made the team?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, I believe I showed that I could still play, you know, with not having played football in that long and to go out there and to consistently get off the ball the way I did, consistently be in the backfield and disrupt things. You know, that's really what it's about. You know, before I got injured, I was under contract for 3 years with the Cowboys. So it's not like people were concerned about, can I play? I don't think that was a concern. The concern was, can he come back from a devastating leg injury at his age? And I believe that I showed that I can and that I did. But, you know, I haven't had any practice time. Yesterday was my real first reps. So I'll get better with time, with more reps, and getting back in my groove.
Good seeing you, Gerald McCoy, Raiders defensive tackle, silver and black. Good seeing you, Gerald.
Excellent. Great seeing my family.
All right.
Let's not make it so long before we talk again.
Okay. Gerald McCoy, great seeing you. By the way, Seattle's got another player that's unhappy, and I cannot believe all you – you know, the whole it's so funny to me on this whole Jake Paul thing. It's not that complicated. He made millions of dollars this weekend to fight. He's an athlete. Well, he's a YouTuber. Well, Donald Trump was a real estate mogul, and then he became president.
I think at least the reaction that I personally was getting is that he hasn't fought any legitimate boxers.
Okay.
So he's fought MMA fighters and celebrities.
Well,
he hasn't fought any actual
boxers.
We're
not saying he's Marvin Hagler.
I did not say that. I said he was legit,
yes.
Which is very triggering for some reason. He is fighting and winning. Is he picking his opponents? Yeah, that's what happens when you're the A side. And he brings in the money. This is how this sport works. When you have season tickets, when you have jersey sales, when you have whole leagues, then you can run things differently. That's not how the sport of boxing is set up. It is sold. It is entertainment.
If you go back to Conor McGregor's early fights, he fought tomato cans. This is what Dana White does. This is what boxing does. You get a guy with talent and you say, he's a 2-year project. Let's get him 6 fights. Tomato can, okay. And then about fight 6 or 7, you're like, Let's give him somebody that could punch him a little. So in the fourth fight, Jake Paul got whacked in the fourth round, but he won the fight. So that's a real test. He would have not. Tyron Woodley would have knocked out a lot of guys that stepped in the ring. Didn't knock out Jake Paul. It's funny who we give chances to.
I don't think it's about us giving them the chances. Like, people are buying the fight. And even if you're not buying the fight because you don't believe in this new wave of celebrities fighting and all that, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But you can't talk about it then, because you are feeding the machine that you claim to hate. It is a business built off of entertainment, selling the fights, selling pay-per-views. If we don't know who the fighters are, they can be the most brilliant boxers, just the gentlemen of the sweet science. If we don't know who they are, they're not going to sell the fight. They're not going to put people in the seats. Therefore, it's not going to work. I didn't decide. I didn't make the rules. Sometimes I just give them the truth. I didn't make these rules.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another Seattle Seahawks safety, Quandre Diggs, right before the season saying, quote, "You can't deny me what I deserve. I don't want to play without a new contract." Seattle's been incredibly noisy, and I find it fascinating with Russell Wilson. I feel like he's on an island. There's Russell and then all the other players. Usually locker rooms reflect the quarterback. If you look at Brady, he's intense and ruthless. That was New England. They kind of shared that. Mahomes is loose and playful and fun. And so are the Chiefs players. It's a fun atmosphere. Aaron Rodgers, smart, kind of snarky. Yeah, a lot of the guys in the locker room in Green Bay got a little, you know, they're outspoken guy. Russell Wilson's Mr. Optimism, Mr. Positive Vibes, go Hawks. And he's surrounded by a bunch of kind of moody, what's in it for me? I want a contractor. I'm not going to practice. And it's weird. I think Seattle players respect Russell Wilson, but is he one of the guys? Like, I don't know. It's very weird. Everybody's what's in it for me. And I'm like, Russell Wilson until this year was just like focused, children's hospitals, optimism, go Hawks. It's a weird vibe up there. And TJ Hushmanzada, you played with Pete Carroll. You know Pete Carroll's joining us live. And let me ask you, it's weird. This is like the fourth Seahawk. Give me a new contract. What do you make of it?
It's the culture that Pete brings to the team. You can be yourself. You can say what you want to say. You can do what you want to do. And so they get comfortable saying what they want to say and doing what they want to do. If you think about it, Russell Wilson started this. He said a couple years ago, "You have until this day to sign me. If you do not sign me, I'm not signing a contract. Pretty much, I'm forcing your hand right now. Give me a deal or I'm leaving or I'm going to try to leave." What did they do? They signed him to a deal. And so other players see the quarterback do it. He gets the deal. Let me see if I can do it. I know I'm not Russell Wilson, but Pete Carroll just gives you this feeling on a team that you can just be yourself. And these guys literally are being themselves. It's almost as if an analogy. Your kid is just wild and crazy all the time. Says what he wants to say. And then he gets out in public and he's wild and crazy and he embarrasses you. And you're like, boy, you better watch your mouth. And your son is thinking, I do this all the time. and so Pete Carroll has to understand the culture that he's bringing to the team. We're grown men, but if I feel like I'm underpaid on certain teams, you go through your agents, you might not say
right.
Much. They're going to say it because Pete Carroll gives them that liberty. It's
that's
his fault.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Good take. So you had Eli Manning on your radio show, Fox Sports Radio, this weekend. I love Eli. And now that Eli is out of it and can be, you know, totally transparent, he's more outspoken. I've been told that he got into the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love situation and was very transparent with you.
Oh, yeah, it shocked us. The question was asked, what is your take on the Green Bay Packers and the Aaron Rodgers situation? And it shocked me that he was so transparent. He basically said, Aaron knows Jordan isn't the answer. Green Bay knows Jordan isn't the answer. And so Aaron is basically holding their feet to the fire because both know that Jordan Love is not the quarterback of the future. I was shocked that he said that.
I don't think he's wrong. I mean, seriously, we said this. If, you know, Jordan Love, if he was the guy, I mean, Green Bay's history is they wouldn't tolerate it. They let go of Favre, they let go of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's expensive, right? So I my takeaway is Eli's right.
Do you want to let – would you let go of a player that the previous season just won MVP? I don't think any team would do that. And for furthermore, just to somewhat defend Jordan Love is – he hadn't played in a game. They didn't know what they had in Jordan Love. You can watch practice and be great. You can watch practice and be bad. But when that game starts, you just never know how a guy's going to perform. And so the preseason, I believe Jordan Love has played well. He hasn't been great. He hasn't been bad. And so they're going to have a tough decision to make. And I don't believe Jordan Love showed them enough this preseason to move off of Aaron Rodgers.
So we know that Deshaun Watson could potentially have legal troubles. That aside for the moment, if you're in the Dolphins locker room and the coaches keep telling you it's Tua's team, Tua's team, Tua's team, and then you read a story and it's like, we're going to give up 8 picks to get Deshaun Watson. How does that play to the locker room?
The locker room is just wanting to know who's going to be our quarterback. And when you watch Brian Flores' press conference, he didn't deny it. He kind of bounced around it, but he didn't deny that they were interested in Deshaun Watson at all. And so I'm sure Tua in the back of his mind is thinking to himself like, oh my God, what is going on? Am I going to be here? It's some uncertainty on his end. And so if he has that, the team obviously are going to think the same thing. And for the players that don't believe in Tua, they want Deshaun Watson. But I believe we've seen a different Tua this preseason. I just don't understand how COVID last year hit. There's no mini camp. There's no training camp. He's coming off an injury. Chan Gailey is his offensive coordinator who isn't really in tune with how football is played now.
Right.
Not saying he can't coach. What did they expect from Tua last year? He's done well this preseason with offseason, preseason games. And so I still believe Tua can be a player. He is small, but he can play the quarterback position. But also, look at the weapons that he has on offense. Any quarterback gets in that offense, they're going to play well.
Yeah. Now, getting Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, they've absolutely upgraded. Devontae Parker was already there. I like Mike Gesicki's a very good tight end. Finally, you know Joe Burrow. In fact, I was DMing Joe Burrow this weekend, wishing him well. I think he's an easy guy to root for, but we've heard the questions about Ja'Marr Chase has struggled in preseason. Joe Burrow, you know this. You come off a big leg injury. It messes with your head. What are realistic expectations for a really likable, easy to root for kid who I think has some Tony Romo to his style, to his play? What are your expectations for Joe Burrow in the rebuilding Bengals this year?
I expect him, I would say by game 3 or 4, to look like he looked last year as a rookie. It's going to take some time for him to get comfortable. And you saw in the preseason, safe throw, bubble screen, three
right.
plays.
Right.
They just wanted to get him on the field. But it's going to take some time for he's going to have to get hit a couple of times. And hopefully they're just tackles. He really doesn't get hit hard. But it's going to take the time. I see the Bengals winning 6 to 7 games. But Joe, with his confidence, kind of like, he's just a confident dude, borderline cocky. As soon as that comes back, the Bengals are going to roll. He just has this aura battle, man, this confidence that I got you, get on my back. Everybody talks about at LSU how they were so historical. Man, Joe was driving that engine. Man, he was driving the train. He was an engine of that car. And so you look at those players now and see how they perform. Joe was the reason that team was so successful because they believed in him. He just brought this confidence that they hadn't seen before, and he's going to do the same thing with the Bengals.
TJ Hushmanzada, Fox Sports NFL analyst. As always, my friend, great seeing you.
Colin, Joy, you guys take care. Keep up the great work. I see Mason Taylor was eating.
Hey,
Joy, I seen him.
I saw that. My nephew had a really good game this weekend.
So good seeing you. By the way, you said your other nephew plays BYU Arizona.
Arizona, yeah. Isaiah plays for Arizona for Jed Fish, yes. And they're playing BYU at Allegiant this weekend in Vegas. So I'm probably going to go. And my younger nephew, Mason, is playing for St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale, and their game is on ESPN this weekend, and he had an awesome game.
That's a big high school powerhouse.
Yeah, he's going to LSU, guys, so he's off the market. But
off the market. Defy your age with M-Drive, the supplement for driven men. Go to mdriveformen.com. 20% off with the code HERD. They've never offered that before. mdriveformen.com, 20% off the code HERD. Hour 3 on a Monday. We're flying through it. It's the HERD.